Blog Talk Radio.
We have raised a thousand voices just to lift your holy name, and we will raise thousands more to sing of your beauty in this place. When man can even fathom, no, not one, define your worth, as we marvel in your presence to the ends of the earth.
Perry Mason,
which is Evangelist. We've not heard him. We've actually not had him to call in yet. I've not been able to contact him or message him, and I've not heard anything from this guy. It seems like it'd be a great interview, but we're still kind of waiting on Perry Mason to call in. And what we're going to do, we're just going to go ahead. We're just going to talk about different topics. And one of the topics that I love to talk about is healing and what type of healings we've seen, what type of healings we've encountered, what type of healings has been manifested through us as us being a vehicle. And that's one of the things we're going to be talking about. And what I'm going to do, right quick, we're going to go ahead and listen to Matthew 3, and it's going to be talking about John the Baptist. We're going to Matthew 3, and we're going to hear about John the Baptist. We'll be right back.
In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea.
Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah.
The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.
Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them,
Brood of vipers! Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not think to say to yourselves, We have Abraham as our father. For I say to you, that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand. Then he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire.
Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him.
I need to be baptized by you. And are you coming to me?
Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.
Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And suddenly, a voice came from heaven.
This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.
That is awesome right there, how the Lord got baptized, and it actually, you know, when he actually got baptized, it actually set his whole ministry up to start right there. And he didn't really have to be baptized, but to set things straight with the Jewish people and how everything worked back in them days, it had to be. And since he got baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon him. And it's awesome that our Lord was actually born of water and spirit there to reflect to us what we can do. We can walk in his same shoes. We can do the same things as he could. That's why he had to walk as man, where we could see that we could do the same thing. If he had to walk fully as God, even as a baby, we would see it would be impossible for us to do. It would be like, hey, we just sit back and see what he does. You know, we can't really do what he his walk because he was God and we just can't do it. But, you know, the Father sent him down as a man walking in the shoes of God. And when he passed all the Ten Commandments, walked through all of them, and then he got baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire, it shows us that we could do the same thing. Now, we couldn't walk through the whole ten because the Son of God could only do that. But we can get baptized with the water and fire like he did. And, that's one thing that he was here to do, show us how to walk. After he died on the cross and is put in the glory where he could send his Holy Spirit down on us and for us to know what to do. That's one of the things. We had to know what to do. We had to have a teacher to show us what to do. Now, we do have the Holy Spirit in us that actually shows us what to do and guides us and stuff like that, but we had to have an example we can read about and look at to see how to do these things. Now, when Jesus was walking upon this earth, he was showing the disciples how these things work, show them what to do. Now, some of the disciples, they had no teaching, they had no schooling, they had nothing. They were just fishermen, and that basically a lot of these guys was fishermen from when they was a kid onto their adults. Their families taught them this trade. That was a trade. Back in those days, people was taught trades, and that's what helped them to support their families and stuff, and that's what they learned. It ain't like these days when we send our kids off to school to learn different skills and to learn all about learning and stuff. They didn't do that. Now, the Greeks, they did that. They send their kids off to school and stuff like they had things like that, but just the regular people didn't really have that. They just had trades, and even Jesus, he had a trade. He was a carpenter, and his stepdad Joseph was a carpenter and taught him how to do carpenter things, and that was their trade. But his main trade was walking as a son of God, and that was fulfilled till there. In his last couple of days when his time came to do this. But anyway, the thing of it is Jesus had to walk out all the things to put everything in perspective for us, for his church to see and see how to walk. And that's one thing there. And it started off right there in Matthew 3 where he got baptized. It started his whole ministry right there. It's like the open gate. And that's how that started. Now, Chris, what do you think about this, man?
I just was sitting here thinking about healing, and then so faith begins where the will of God is known, and the basis for all of that stuff is like God. I kind of think of God as being the backbone, that holds everything up and together, and I'm very appreciative for the scripture, because it's like once you know that, it's like when you know the scripture, you know that it's the will of God to heal, and it's a whole lot easier to believe when you're absolutely certain that it's God's will to do it. Problem is, in any area really is we don't believe God. Even if you're a Christian, you have been for years and years, if you're not if you're not seeing results, it's because you haven't fully believed or tapped into that flow of God, I do like something that Curry Blake says a lot. He says sometimes if you'll just act on the word, that you will act yourself into believing. Because of doing what the scripture says. So, it can come in different ways because God honors his word, whether you're believing it or not, And the people that you're praying for, speaking the word to, they can believe it. And it's really cool. Think about that stuff. Stirring the scripture for healing.
Yes, that's awesome, man. What do you think, Chuck?
Well, kind of along those lines as well, as we was listening to, usually when I go out and get to do conferences that talk about healing, I always like to use Jesus being baptized by John the Baptist, because when Jesus was baptized, the Bible says he come up out of the water, and God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Jesus was identified as a son before he ever did anything. Because right after that, when you go into Matthew chapter 4, what's the first thing Satan tried to do? If you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God. So Satan was trying to rob Jesus' identity. And I think a lot of times we miss it because we don't realize who we are. Everybody knows God can heal people. I mean, he raised Lazarus from the dead. We know God can do those things. I think a lot of times is we miss who we are. And Jesus was solid as a son before he was ever a Messiah, before he ever did a miracle, before he ever made his name public. He knew he was a son. And so, you know, like, I'm solid as a son under my father. I know what I can do and what I can't do. So as God is my father, then I realize, hey, people can get healed. And I always, you use John the Baptist, that was good, because Jesus, or John the Baptist, when he was in prison, sent his disciples, he was starting to wonder, okay, was I right about this guy? And so Jesus said, go back and tell John, the blind see, the lame walk, the dead are raised, all these miracles are happening. So miracles are not these things that should blow our minds. They're just the fingerprint of God in the earth, because it goes beyond science. It goes beyond rational thinking. It goes beyond what we can explain. It goes beyond our humanity. So it's just God's fingerprint. When somebody's healed in a grocery store, or somebody's healed at a gas station, or somebody's healed even in a church service, it's just God's fingerprint saying, I'm here. So when I approach healing, I really come from that angle that, I mean, like Chris just said, that was perfect. It is God's will in each and every situation to heal. What it comes down to is our belief system has to get up to where we can start seeing those things manifested in front of our eyes.
Amen. One thing that I have learned in doing healings, and I've learned a lot from Curry Blake, I've learned a lot from a lot of the ministers that actually minister into this, and there's details and stuff that when you go to some of these healing conferences, they don't tell you. They don't tell you fully scripturally what has to take place for this to happen, okay? There's many different things that you have when you're accepted Christ. You've got some things that helps you in healing. One thing that you have before you're baptized in the Spirit, you know, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have authority over demons. That's automatically given to you. Authority is already given to you through Christ. One of the main things that we learn quite often is how to do deliverances. That's a gift that's freely given to us as, you know, believers in Christ. Now, the full healing thing comes in, and they don't teach you, it's full healing thing comes in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, you see a lot of these people, they walk around, and people get healed and all this stuff. That's when the baptism has happened. It happens in many different ways, and they don't teach us, and it's an act. And one of the ways that baptism of the Holy Spirit happens is laying on of hands of somebody that's already been baptized in the Spirit. It's already flowing in. God will use them as a vessel to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Another way to get baptism of the Holy Spirit is when the Lord himself just brings it over you. And there's a lot of people that's had that happen. They're praying, all of a sudden they get, boom, it hits them, you know. And that's one of the ways that happens. And I've saw a lot of these healing teaching conferences. They don't teach a lot on that. And there's another thing that can happen to you when you go to these conferences. See, when you've got a lot of people ganged into a conference that's teaching healing, they're all baptized with the Holy Spirit, there's like a rub-off, I'm going to say. It's like you're working on their anointing, okay? You go to these conferences, and the anointing is working good on you. You're out praying for the sick, and all kind of type of things happen. They've never prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit on you, but the anointing's working good on you. One thing this can be, you could be working off their anointing. Working off their anointing means is whatever is flowing in there is working off of them onto you. Now, this can work for a while until that wears off, but you've got to be fully baptized in the Holy Spirit for you to carry your own anointing like it. Now, you can work on your your authority. You can do a lot of healings on your authority, like casting out demons, and a lot of people have great results on working on your authority, just commanding, because the root to a lot of these sicknesses is demonic. It's not from God at all. It is demonic, and a lot of people work in their healing ministry like this. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit has to be on you. You have to, you know, that's one of the key things. And I didn't know this till later, or, well, I'll say about the middle of my learning towards healing by Jesus. But you have to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I know a lot of friends, they've had the baptism many different ways. I think, Chris, you had the baptism, you know, right after you and your, I think you and your brother got the baptism at the same time, didn't you, Chris?
Well, it was within the same week, I believe, but
yeah.
Mine was a little different. I kind of sought after baptism of the Holy Spirit for a couple weeks or so before it happened, but like with me, it happened at home, and we were at a Bible study, or, you know, we had been studying the Bible. It was just roommates in the house, and anyway, the Lord spoke to one of them and said that I was going to get baptized in the Spirit of God that night. And they were like, well, God, how's that going to happen? And anyway, we just started reading the Bible, and we probably spent a couple hours just, not that that mattered, that we, I mean, because I felt like it was going to happen anyway. But anyway, I remember praying and just being so hungry for the will of the Lord, and just so, I mean, because he had really, like, he had my attention, you know. And anyway, that night when we started praying, I just started pouring out my heart. I was like, God, you know, I want to do your will for the rest of my life. I don't even really know that I have any desires anymore. And I was like, I just want to do what you want me to do, and if it's go to the world or whatever. And anyway, I was pouring out my heart, and that roommate said, they started praying in the Spirit, and when they started praying in the Spirit, man, the power of God hit me so hard. I mean, it was wild. I was on my knees, but, you know, there's a scripture that talks about no flesh can stand in his presence. Well, I was on my knees with my hands up in the air, just kind of like worshiping the Lord. And when the Spirit of God began to enter my body, it felt like I could feel it inside of my being. And my hands were straight up, but it felt like this substance coming down through my fingertips, and it was moving real slow. And if you can imagine like pouring honey out, that's what it I kind of think about when it was running down. And when the Holy Spirit was running when it was happening, it was running inside of my body real slow all the way down. I kind of think about a curtain being lowered, kind of like real slow, you know. But anyway, I was on my knees, so he went all the way down through me and into my knees and stuff. And it was awesome because when it got down in my feet, it started going back and forth, or back and forth, and then up real slowly, back up. And when it hit like the core of my being again, coming back up, it just felt like these fireworks were going off inside of me. And I mean, man, it's probably the most profound experience ever, maybe. I mean, there's times where I've like questioned and struggle with like certain situations or doubt or unbelief. And when I think back to that moment, it's like I find so much strength, and God is real, and you know, the ability that he has. And there's just, when you encounter God in that way, I mean, it empowers you in such a mighty way that, I mean, it just does wonders for your faith, because it's something that's very, very real. And ever since that moment, ever since that happened, every time, like, I get in a worship where the Lord's being honored and glorified, and, I mean, even if I just focus on the Lord, I can feel his presence inside my body. Like, it feels kind of tingly, and I don't know, it's awesome. But I did ask the Lord to never let that get common to me to where I don't honor him. You know,
yeah.
I just really appreciate him. I really appreciate that because it's a very life-changing event.
Yeah. One thing I like to point out is that not everybody has an experience like that. Everybody's experience is going to be a little different. There are some people, I mean, I've heard experiences from some of the guests I've had on the show. They get thrown in the bed and they'll start getting the heat hitting them, and it's just like they're having a Pentecostal moment, and then you have it here another, and then you hear some, there's just laid up hands, and they felt heat come through, and it was cool. I mean, it depends on what you need. It depends on what you need to remember that.
Hey,
I do want to
say this,
yeah.
though, but because, like,
yeah.
I got real hungry for the Lord like that, and, I mean, he just
yeah.
showed up, you know, but, one thing I wanted to say was that happened to me before I got baptized in water. And the
yeah.
wild thing is you hear all these things like, you know that you're baptized in the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in other tongues. Well,
yeah.
speaking in tongues, that didn't happen to me until after I got baptized in water. But
yeah.
the more spiritual and profound event, looking back on it, it seemed like the baptism of the Holy Spirit was just, you know, it's something that God does to you, not something that man does to you. Whereas baptism in the water is, you know, it's a kind of a proclamation of you standing and saying, showing man, you know, that you're going to honor God. And but anyway, after I got baptized in water, it was maybe, I don't know, somewhere between 2 weeks and a month later after that I got baptized
yeah.
in water. And that's really where I started, like, hearing tongues, you know, and like, getting that prayer language, because it's like
yeah.
I started flowing in that the day that I got baptized in the water. So I think that's different for different people, too, you know. And
yeah.
But the main thing is growing and going after God. You know, as long as you see that there's more out there, keep going, and that's
uh-huh.
forever. I mean, like, I really believe that you're still going to be growing in the knowledge of the Lord even after you get into eternity, you know? But,
yeah.
I don't know, it's interesting. I just wanted to share that.
That's awesome, man. But Chuck, have you had any experiences like that, man?
Man, my experience was totally different. Well, I've said it before. I kind of grew up Pentecostal holiness, you know, traditional Pentecostal holiness even as a little boy. And then my parents
yeah.
divorced when I was young. So I had been around the manifestation of the Spirit, you know, those services where the women are shaking and jerking and bobby pins are flying like shrapnel through the service and stuff, and you sat real still because you didn't know if I was going to kill you if you moved. I mean, you know, that good old legalism
yeah.
thing that they taught. And so my parents divorced when I was 8, so we fell out of church for a while, and I finally got saved when I turned 20. I'd been 20 for a few months, and then I was right back into the Pentecostal Holiness Conference, was actually helping a church. It was a few months after I got saved, and I knew about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I knew what they were talking about, but I wasn't taught as a child. I didn't understand it. So what had happened at the church that I was at was a lady did a class on the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit and stuff like that. And I was like, man, this will be awesome. So I went to it, and we were doing it in the fellowship hall. And I was seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit because, you know, that's what they tell us to do. And I knew it was important for me to have. And so, but, like, I could hear it in my head. I just couldn't get it to come out of my mouth. It was like this real disconnect. And I guess because I like to think too much. Probably my brain got in the way more than anything, but I started to learn, and she opened the Bible to me. This is what's important. She didn't teach what a traditionalist would teach. She taught me the Bible, and she pointed out in the Bible. I say she taught me. There were other people in the class, but it was like she was talking just to me. And the last night of the class, she said, okay, here it is. Let's just pray. And, you know, if you receive it, fine. If you don't, fine. Just be comfortable. We were at home. You're amongst family. She made it a real comfortable environment. And I can remember standing in the fellowship hall. The class was kind of facing the fireplace at the end of the fellowship hall. And I was standing up there, you know, like a normal little altar call, and I was just praying. and just as easy and natural as I'm talking to you guys right now, I just started talking. It wasn't the jerking, it wasn't the shaking, it wasn't the screaming, it wasn't the running around. It was actually very unemotional to the point that probably some people didn't even know if I got it or not. And So, you know, just baptism with the tongues and everything had started. I didn't feel heat. I didn't feel anything. It just started naturally flowing. And I guess I'm a weird guy. When you get to know me, I'm really an unemotional person. I really detach from emotion because a lot of times they can lead you down the wrong way. So in my baptism, it wasn't an emotional thing. It was so spiritual, man. It was unbelievable. You can't describe it, but it was just a natural flow finally started happening because I could hear the voices in my head. I just couldn't get them out of my mouth. So if that makes sense. So I just started naturally flowing with it.
That's awesome. Yeah, like I said, it happens many different ways to different people. Everybody's going to have their own experience. With me, it was a little different because, you know, I was spiritual. I did healing arts there for a long time, and Jesus kind of rerouted me. And I was actually sitting there and meditating one day, and all of a sudden I started speaking in tongues. I've heard of people speaking in tongues that know nothing about it, but I just started speaking all the names of God. It was crazy, man. It kind of freaked me out. And then all of a sudden one day I was sitting there and I was actually watching one of the ministers, and all of a sudden my heart started burning. My chest started burning. And during that time, I could just feel Jesus. I saw Jesus in my mind right there in my heart. I was like, this is awesome, man. And I was talking all about the Word of God to everybody, just going real crazy with it. And then all of a sudden, you know, on down the road, I was already praying for people. Things was already happening, but I felt like I needed a little something extra. And the Lord, see, back when I was a child, I got baptized as a child because I was raised Lutheran, and that's what you did, you know. So the Lord was really pushing me to get rebaptized as an adult. And I was going to all these different, you know, ministers and stuff. Hey, can you baptize me? Oh, we can fit you in next week. Never did happen. And I asked another, I'll fit you in next month. Never did happen. So I was going to Florida anyway to put my buddies down there. It's in ministry. And I told him, I said, before we get on the street, I said, you got to baptize me, dude. I'm tired of getting missed all the time here. And he's like, sure, we'll go and do it. So I got baptized there, and he actually baptized me in the Spirit there, too, because he's already baptized in the Spirit. So he prayed for that, and it felt like the water was like 30 degrees, and he put his hand on me and said, you know, said his thing, and he said, you feel anything? I was like, yeah, water is cold, now I'm hot, and I'm good. So that was one of my experiences, but I did have another experience with him on the phone. He prayed for a baptism on the Holy Spirit, kind of like I did for Chris when not back a couple weeks ago, and it kind of activates your healing and stuff, and the Holy Spirit just comes in and you starts working things out, and it was very interesting. I felt the heat. So, you know, I never did have the slamming all around and all that, but I did feel the heat, and I did feel the fire of God coming through my hands, and I did feel the fire of God in my chest and reworking me, and it was awesome. And I'm going to tell you, you know, I've heard many different stories of this. And when it's on you and when the anointing is working on you, you can tell it. And with the speaking of tongues, it was, with me, it was kind of unique because there for a while, I was speaking for a while. It's like my mouth would move and the words would come out. It's like I would hold my own mind back and I let God use my mouth. I would not stop it. I was like, this is something cool. I've heard this was good for my spiritual body. I've got to let him speak through my mouth and just let him tune things up. Because one thing about speaking in tongues, it's not only the identification of the Holy Spirit. It attunes your spiritual body up to where God can use it correctly. It can actually heal you. It opens all the other gifts in your body. It's very important to speak in tongues as much as you can. Because even, you know, what was it? Paul said he did it more than anybody. So, you know, that's one of the main things, speak in tongues as much as you can, pray in tongues, because the Holy Spirit knows what he's doing, man. He knows what he's doing, you know?
Hey, Stan.
Go ahead.
I want to interrupt just a second, just because this is stirring in me right now. It says, it's this scripture, and I really, really drove into this and realize that, hey, this is for me, you know. It's Luke 11:13. It says, or if he ask of an egg, he would not give him a scorpion, will he? If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And that's Luke 11:13. And Matthew 7:11 is saying the same thing. How much more will your Father in heaven give you good gifts to those who ask him? So it's all a gift. Yeah. It's more about being a gift than it is about you seeking it out. But
yeah.
I believe that like your interaction with the Lord has so much to do with that. You know, and as far as the tongues goes, you know, when you start seeing stuff in the scripture, you know, you start getting thinking, hey, man, this is for me, you know. And so many people, I really believe that it is a major tactic of the enemy to keep you, to dumb you down. Because the dumber about anything, he can keep you, the less effective you're going to be for the Father, you know. But, I mean, I believe that just growing with the Lord, I mean, it's got so much to do with your will, you know, and if you want to grow, the Lord's going to take you at a rate that is tremendously fast, but it's like you got to want it. You got to want
Amen.
It. You know, it's the thing about you consecrating and dedicating yourself, you know, and Romans 12 talks
Amen.
All about, like, making yourself that living sacrifice. But, man, there's really more of God and more that all of us can walk in. And really, it's my desire to know him and to walk with him so closely that everything around me is affected, you know. And I know
Man.
My life, I mean, I know that his ability is on me, you know. My thing is, I just want to
yep.
know more of how to flow in him, in who I am, in him, you know.
But, Amen.
Anyway, I just wanted to share that.
Yes, it's kind of cool because even with tongues, people was like, you know, this is like a medal that I have on my jacket, and they only speak it like when they're at church, and they kindly like just cut it off a little bit. But it's a gift that needs to be used as much as you can, like in prayer, like in private. And I really prefer myself. I prefer people to use it for their benefit, to grow in Christ. To bring the Lord's going to come closer anyway, but it just adds that extra thing to your prayer time. I mean, to me, praying in tongues is my communication with the Lord that makes it more intimate to me, and it just adds something to it. And a lot of times people's like, well, if you got baptized with the Spirit, you have to be speaking in tongues. That don't always happen. It does come. Sooner or later, it does come. Sometimes it can happen that way. It really depends. I mean, I had my wife's grandma. You know, I prayed for a baptism of the Holy Spirit over her in her living room. She got that. But the tongues didn't happen until she was in the church service, and all of a sudden, she just burst open in tongues in front of everybody. So they're like, where'd that come from, you know? So it can happen anywhere. But, you know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is vital to your spiritual growth, and it's something that we all need. And there's a lot of churches that does not teach this. There's a lot of healing meetings and sessions that don't teach this. But that is one of the vital things that you need, is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's an awesome thing. But,
hey, another thing about that is, you know, it says how he will give good gifts to his children, you know. And some people
yeah.
will say, oh, it's only for a select few. Well, I disagree with that. I know that it's for everybody. You know, I know that even if you have no will or desire to be a full-time minister doing the gospel as a job and stuff like that, even if you're a maid or whatever it may be, you know, I'm a maintenance technician, you know. I mean, I believe that you're going to walk in the life of God at a greater measure if you learn how to flow with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, the Holy Spirit and know the Holy Spirit in such a way that, I mean, because like you're talking about tongues and the prayer language, well, there's different tongues and stuff like that, but the thing that you really need is the prayer language of faith. And what makes that so effective is, man, you can engage in that language at any moment because the Spirit of God is inside of you. And like for any situation, you can pray effectively because you have the gift of tongues, the prayer language of tongues. And that language of tongues you can engage in at any moment. So it's like,
amen.
Like I've seen this happen, man. Like I remember this girl asking me to pray for her grandma. Well, I was working at the time. I was waiting tables, and I said, "Lord, I said I'm gonna just pray for them. I don't even really know what's going on, but I'm gonna pray for them. I knew they were in the hospital, and I had no idea in the natural realm how to pray. So I just began to engage in the even as I was working, engage in that gift of tongues, you know, and because it's something that you can do at any moment. But anyway, I started praying in tongues, and then a week or so later, I asked her, how's your grandma doing? You know, I hadn't heard you say anything about it. And she was like, oh, man, it's fine. The Lord healed her up, and she's doing great. She got out of the hospital, and it was just awesome because I knew I had sewed into that thing in praying in tongues,
yeah.
You know. And that's one of those things that is faith. You just have to do it by faith. And at times, you know, you can do it for a while, and the Spirit of God can manifest things, and he will do that just because he's God. But he'll speak to you through those impressions and your mind and visions and stuff like that. But anyway, I just wanted to touch on that.
That's awesome, man. We're going to go and we're going to run right into the song right quick, and we'll be right back. We're going to be talking about our testimonies of the healings we've seen and how we saw God use people. We'll be right back.
Every single word I say, you know it before I speak. You know every thought, the deepest part of me. You draw me close and then I see your presence is everything I need to be the child that you created me to be. Lay down my
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Healing Light Show, and we're talking about healing today. And what we're going to do, we're going to be talking about testimonies that Chris, me and Chuck is actually saw, and how the Lord has used us and used other people, and many different unique things that we saw over the years. And I do want to encourage anybody that needs a healing, they can call in if they want to. They can receive a healing if they need to. And the call-in number is 347-996-3615. This call-in number is 347-996-3615. You can call in and get a healing and watch the Lord work in your life. This is awesome. I've saw it a lot of times on this show where people instantly get healed or transformed. You can see, you know, the Lord works in many different ways. He can touch your life, touch your family, any different thing like that. It's very awesome. So, Chuck, what type of healings have you saw over the years?
Well, let me start with the very first one that I saw with my eyes. And this is kind of what shook my entire world, because I thought I had this God thing figured out. I've been in church for a long time. And me and my crowd, it was a normal Friday night. Guy like me likes pizza, so we went to the local Pizza Hut in town. And it was a packed house. And in our town here in Lake City, the homeless or the very poor, they sell pecans or peanuts. And so if you've ever been in Pizza Hut, you got a door in one corner. We just happened to be opposite corner. I happened to be sitting where I could see the entire dining facility. And this homeless guy comes in. I think he lost his job. So it was just a, you know, down on his luck guy. But he was limping real bad. Now, like I say, God, my community, healing, none of that was on my radar. Stuffed crust pizza was on my mind. And hot wings. That's what was on my mind.
That sounds pretty good, Chuck.
So we were there, and what they do is they bag them up in little sandwich bags, and they just offer them to people. And of course, Pizza Hut here in town lets them do that. So he walks all the way through the dining facility. He ends up at our table. And so one of the young ladies, a spiritual daughter of mine who was there eating dinner with us, she said, "Listen, here's the $2. I don't want the pecans. Can I pray for your foot? I noticed you're limping real bad." And he said, "Well, sure." Now, Pizza Hut, Friday night, packed house. So she prays for him. They do the niceties, and they say thank you to each other. And this guy turns around and walks off, and he does not limp at all. And so we're in the corner having a Holy Ghost meeting because we know what just happened. Now, like I say, this blew my mind because I had never seen anything like this. I had heard of miracles in church services but never saw any of them or heard testimonies of miracles and never really saw anything. And so he walks out and he comes back into the dining hall and stands in the middle of the dining hall facing our table and announces to the entire dining hall that his foot just got healed. And so I'm freaking out because this was way off of my radar. I was not looking for this. I was not expecting this. I had never seen anything like this. It was so genuine and real that the entire dining hall reacted to it. And I thought, man, this is what it's all about. It's about being Jesus to people. And so that was the first one I ever saw. And since then, you know, we had the Power and Love show. I really got connected into that community of Power and Love. This happened about 2.5 years ago. So last summer, I got introduced to the Power and Love community, summer of 2013. And, healing's on my job all the time. I had to step past that scared thing. And if I got time, I'll tell you one more quick one. The first one I saw where I prayed for somebody, I was at work. I'm a service technician. I repair cars. And the detail shop had a guy, and I had a quick vision, and I saw him and a friend moving something, and it, like, tore his left shoulder. So I had a quick vision, and I was like, okay, here we go. I'm just going to try it. I knew this guy. This was a big chance because this wasn't like a stranger where I could run and go hide if it didn't work. I knew I was going to see this guy for a long time. So I went up to him. Now, he's in the detail shop, so all four doors of the car's open. He's got the radio wide open because he's got rap music playing because he's vacuuming the car and he wants to hear it. So the vacuum cleaner's going, the radio's going, all four doors of the car's open. So I engage him in a conversation with all that background noise going on. And I just told him, I said, man, listen, this is going to sound crazy, but I had a quick vision, and I saw you and a friend moving something and it tore your left shoulder. He said, yeah, man, we were moving a box. It messed my shoulder up. I was like, does it hurt? He said, well, it hurts sometimes. You know, it's just got a little tightness in it or whatever. I said, listen, man, if Jesus showed me that, he wants to heal it right now. Can I pray for you? He was like, yeah, go ahead. So he puts his hands on the door, and I prayed for his shoulder, and I prayed a phenomenal prayer, man. I'm telling you, theologians would just cringe at this prayer. I said, shoulder be healed in Jesus' name. And I stepped back, and I said, how does it feel, man? And so he started working his shoulder. He said, man, my shoulder has never felt that good in years. I said, Jesus loves you. He said, yeah, I go to this church right down the street. And I said, hey, that's awesome. I just wanted to bless you and love you. I don't want anything from you. And so I've seen him. This has been a year and a half, and I still ask him about his shoulder. He says it's never felt better in his life.
Amen.
Wow, that is incredible.
That's awesome.
What I was going to say was the Lord gave you a word of knowledge. I'm just doing this for the purpose of the listeners. That was a word of knowledge where he saw that vision because it was about the past or present. So that was a word of knowledge. And that's one of the ways that the Lord speaks. I just wanted to share that.
Yeah, and if I could throw some on that since you said that, Chris, we were talking about the Holy Spirit. I always like to tell people when it comes to tongues, we think that we get, when we speak in tongues, especially charismatic Pentecostal people, they think that's the it. It's the pinnacle. We've arrived. We're God's favorite. And so, but Paul says tongues are the least of the gifts. So the way I look at it, this is my personal view when I studied that, was like, God's not going to trust me with $1 million if he can't trust me with $10. So if he can't trust me with a simple gift, he's not going to give me the words of knowledge. He's not going to give me the prophecy, which is the greatest gift, Paul said. And so those things come out because the Spirit got embedded in me and I got baptized in it. So now I'm all that's mine. Ephesians 1 talks about the inheritance of heaven that's mine. I get all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Amen.
I just had this thought that the Word of God is like that in a building project, the Word of God is like the blueprints, you know. And the reason I'm saying that is this, is because it's so holy and orchestrated of the Lord. It's, you know, and there's so much value on that Word of God because everything starts from that point, you know, and it's like, it's incredible because I wanted to touch this. These blueprints carry you into the building of your life in God, you know, and the Lord keeps reiterating this to me. It's like, look, it's life. It's eternal life. You're growing in eternal life. And these blueprints are like the way that he reveals to you his truth, you know, reveals to you himself, reveals to you the ability to walk in that life. And I think back to this statement where he messed me up, man. He started this conversation. He said that words can't fully present who I am. And I was like, wow, that's a pretty deep statement, you know. And I was like, I mean, that thought just messed me up, and I started kind of meditating on it. I was like, wow. And I was like, I began to realize that they can only, like, reveal so much, but there's so much more to God than you're able to capture in a sentence or whatever. You just got to keep thinking about it, you know, and he'll carry you deeper into him as you meditate on his word. And I think about that scripture says, let not these words depart from your eyes. You know, it's like,
yeah.
It's because with every scripture, it's a seed, and it's a seed that can grow into a major harvest. The Lord showed me this one night, too. It was really cool because I found this stone that looked like a seed, and I was like, wow. I mean, I was talking to somebody, ministering to them, and I seen that thing, and I went and got it, and I was like, man, that looks like a seed, but it was... You know, I mean, I guess the Lord set me up because, I mean, like, I just saw that thing gleaming, and I picked it up, and I started, like, that whole night, man, he was ministering to me about, like, how scriptures are a seed and how, you know, you plant seeds and you get harvest and seed time and harvest over and over again. But I don't know if that was a Holy Ghost rabbit trail, I guess, but anyway. I'll let one of you guys share.
That's awesome, man. I mean, I've saw a lot of healings over the years and through other people and through my own self, and it's unique how the Lord works. I mean, when you're walking around showing the kingdom of God to people, it's like your everyday life. Now, I'm not a type of guy that walks around like Todd White and prays for everybody. I don't do that, but I do when I am drawn to people to pray. And I'm actually thrown in divine appointments quite a bit, that I'm there set up to pray for somebody and I'm directed to go. And I do know there's a lot of people say, well, you need to pray for everybody. And that's true. That's very true. But a lot of people have different comfort zones and different comfort areas sometimes. And, you know, and the Lord uses you in many different ways to take you out of that comfort zone and really get you out and going. Me, myself, I'm actually a mission guy, which a lot of people ain't, but he'll put me on a mission for one person to pray for, and then he'll take me to a different person, or I'll feel pulled to go to this person. It's kind of like these people has been praying forever and wanting somebody to come up to them, and the Lord is working in me, and he's like, go to this guy, his name's John, or go to this guy and ask him about this. And all of a sudden you go into conversation and you ask him, you know, do you have a hurt knee or anything? Is there something, are you not feeling well today? Do you need a prayer? And all of a sudden they'll go into a situation where they're having a problem, and it opens up a point where you can pray for them. And then a lot of times when you go into a situation like that, you'll see instant things happen all the time, because a lot of times divine appointments, you know, you'll see all type of crazy things happen. But I know I do a lawn care service. It's like a ministry, and it helps people either way. It helps people work with me get paid. It helps the people that getting their lawns mowed for a lower price, and it's a win-win situation. It helps me and my family out too, so it helps all the way around. And anyway, there was a lady one day that I've been mowing for a couple of years. She's a loyal customer to my service, and we came to her house one day. I knocked on her door to let her know that you know, we was out there to do some lawn work for her. And she came to the door, and she's very weak, and I could tell she's really drawn down and stuff. And I was like, Miss Simpson, I was like, what's your problem? She says, I have a clot in my artery, and the doctor has found this, and we're getting ready to go in for surgery tomorrow. I said, I hate this for you, Miss Simpson. I hate to see you down like this. And actually what happened was is that I told her, well, I went and mowed a little bit and did some lawn work for her before I left. I said, I've got to pray for this lady. And right before I left, I said, can I pray for you, Miss Simpson? She's like, sure, Stan, I always enjoy prayers. So I went and prayed for her. And all of a sudden, I started seeing her react. It's like energy started coming up in her body. And then she started moving around doing more stuff. And then I got a call the next day that she went to the doctor, and the doctor looked inside of her heart valve, and the artery was gone, or the clot was gone in her artery. So God removed the clot out of her artery in her heart, and, you know, set her free from that. And that was very awesome. And I actually got a testimony of this on the show where I actually did an interview with her, and she was talking about this testimony of hers of what happened between me and her when I prayed for her and stuff. And that was another awesome testimony where a blocked artery was actually removed, and she was set free from that. But there's many different testimonies. I've had one where, you know, a family has been struck hard by the enemy and pulled away from Christ, and I've introduced them back to Christ, and they actually you know, the Lord turned their whole life around. That for 1 week they didn't like Jesus because they was mad of things that the enemy threw on them. The next week they're going back to church and things are turning around. I saw people instantly healed of having the flu, hurt legs. I've saw backs instantly healed. Saw all type of things. I can't really name. Well, I know I was at the. I'm gonna get to one. My wife one time she had problems with her knees, and they cracked quite a bit when she would move. Her legs would crack and stuff. And I saw a lot of healings take place. So I said, you know, they got to work on my wife too, you know. So I got her down on the couch, and I started praying for her legs, and I told the cracks to leave. She got up. They were still there and all that stuff. And I kind of got mad at that. I was like, in Jesus' name, leave now, like that. And so she stood up. All the cracks left out of her legs. I mean, you couldn't hear nothing. It was like everything was quieting down. I was like, well, I think I had to use a little force there. So it's awesome to see how the Lord works in many different ways. And I've actually saw some legs growed out. I've growed out. The funniest story that I have about growing legs out, we've had a Thanksgiving meal over here, I think, and my father-in-law had problems with his legs. We found one leg was longer than the other, and I growed out his leg a little bit longer, completely longer than the other. Well, longer than the other, and I was just showing him how it worked, how God would use him. So when I growed out one leg longer than the other, I grow the other leg out. So the Lord grew the other leg out to match it. He was 2 inches taller than he was before when he stood up, and it was unique. Everybody in the house is like, you're taller, Larry. And he's like, I am. It's weird. So he was actually taller than he was before, and he was standing at the kitchen like he was on stilts or something. And The reason that happened to him, because his faith was really low at that time, and it kind of activated his faith a little bit more where he could see more things happen. And that was like a tremendous forward.
Wow.
And he's had his lung grow. He had one lung to collapse, and I couldn't really afford to go to the doctor. They called me over there. I prayed for him. The next day, his lung was fully developed and came back, and he didn't have to go to the doctor. And I mean, crazy things that happened to my father-in-law. But you know, the Lord has really blessed him and blessed us to be able to be a vessel for the Lord to work through. And we saw all type of things. I mean, you know.
Hey, can I share something real quick?
Go ahead, man.
I remember the first time that I prayed for healing, like. We're at a meeting, like a college meeting that was on ECU campus. And anyway, I went, somebody had like something wrong with them, and they called for the people to go up there and pray. And like, I was really young in the Lord at that time. And I remember going up there and praying with them. And then after I got, I mean, the Lord healed them. But it was several people involved. But after, I remember struggling with the thought, should I even went up there, Lord, you know, or should I even went up there? I remember thinking that. And I heard the Lord say, it's the prayer of faith that heals the sick. And it was from that scripture. It says, call for the elders of the church. But, you know, that's good, and that is the word. But I heard the Lord say, it's the prayer of faith that heals the sick. Well, that's one way, you know. And, there, many times there's like a spirit of might that will come on, and you're just flowing and operating under the power of God. But I wanted to share that because I thought that was really cool. There's another time where it was very subtle like that, where this lady at work, man, I don't have a problem praying with people because, like, I love the Lord, and I know that he can change a situation in an instant like that. And but this particular situation, I mean, I don't even remember how I prayed for this lady, but I remember, like, praying for her, and then about, I didn't really think nothing of it. I didn't feel the power of God. I didn't really feel anything, you know. I just remember praying for her and, you know, was quick about it because I was at work. And then 3 or 4 months later, it was quite a bit of time later, like, I guess, she had something else go wrong with her because I work at a retirement community. And, you know, those people basically come there to live the rest of their life out, you know. But anyway, I was changing a filter in the air conditioner, and I heard somebody say, Chris, come here, you know. And I was not even in a spiritual attitude or mind frame. But I walked in there, and this same lady said, "Hey, I wanted to get you to pray for me because last time you prayed for me," and she said, "I was doing really, really good." And then she said, "I had this accident and blah, blah, blah." And I was sitting there thinking, I thought to myself this same thing I said earlier. I told myself this. I said, faith begins where the will of God's known. I just remember saying that. And I said, "Okay, I'm going to pray for you." And the minute I put my hand on her, and she said that the first time that I prayed for her, that that she was doing good and had, you know, was feeling really good since that point, but she had that accident. Well, the minute I put my hand on her to pray, I seen the face of Jesus fade into my vision. I don't know how to say it because my eyes were closed. But I was so blessed and overwhelmed by this prayer, probably more so than she was, because the Lord did this. He, like, faded into my vision, like his face. Like, I was looking at him face to face in this vision. And I just remember praying for her. And the minute I said amen, his face faded out. And, I mean, I'll never forget that. But I know the Lord touched me that day, but I'm not 100% sure what happened with her because I was working and stuff. But I know that it was awesome, and it was encouraging, even if she didn't get healed, you know. But I'm not sure if she did or not. But I know that she's passed away since then, you know. Yeah. But it was a good 6 or 8 years ago, you know. But it was just an incredible situation.
That's awesome. One thing I like to touch on is, you know, when you get into the healing ministry, the enemy does not like it at all. He's going to try to block you. He's going to try to manipulate your mind and get you scared of doing it. And I've had so many different weird things that he tried to do to me to stop me. He tried to make you feel like you're working for him. Because you have a lot of people coming in saying, "That's not of God. Hey, they don't do that no more. You're working from another power," or something like that. And then all of a sudden, that gives the enemy more power to use on you to say, "Yeah, you are. You are working for me. You do that. You're not working for God anymore. You work for me when you work in that power of God." And he'll bring his stuff on you. And I'm going to tell you, folks, don't let him mess with you. Because right now, God is trying to put his power back in the church, and the enemy does not want that. He don't want people delivered. He don't want people healed because he's going to be put back in his place, and he don't want that. I'm going to tell you, let the Lord use you for what you need to be used for. Let you walk in the sandals of Jesus Christ. He wants you to walk in his sandals. He wants you to be a reflection of him. He needs to touch people more now than ever. I'm telling you, don't let the enemy manipulate your mind. Don't let the enemy keep you from getting that healing. Don't let the enemy from getting that word of knowledge. Because it's the way it is. He'll mess with your mind. And I can't tell you how many people that works in the power of God, the enemy will come on them and lie to them. Try to change their mind of what they're doing, every type of thing. I'm going to tell you, if you're doing something good, he's going to come on you and try to mess with you. And the thing of it is, the Lord tells us, go ahead, man.
Keep in mind, too, that there's no condemnation. Romans 8, there's no condemnation in Christ. You know, and sometimes, I mean, when people don't get healed, sometimes it's got to do with them. You know, like the Lord gave me this scripture, Deuteronomy 29:29. It said the secret things belong to the Lord. And there are things between that person and the Lord, you know, and you don't know what that is. And actually, one thing the Spirit of God revealed to me was sometimes there's things between them that is none of my business. And, you know, I mean, that's a hard word to receive. But sometimes when somebody doesn't get healed, it's not always about what you didn't do right. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I really believe that God's will is that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, you know. And sometimes you just got to leave that stuff in the Lord's ballpark, you know, and just leave it between them and the Lord and realize that God's grace is bigger than your mistakes. because, like, we'll get caught up on these little issues, and I'm not saying don't learn from what you're walking through and stuff, because you do need to do that. I mean, to the very most, to the utmost. But the thing I am saying is like, when you don't see results manifest, just keep going forward. Keep putting one foot in front of the other. When you've done all the stand, keep standing. You know, just,
yeah.
I mean, that stuff's important to not let it, not let it become like a roadblock. Keep going forward and climbing over those situations, and don't give discouragement place in your heart. You know, it's like, I know that's
yeah.
not the voice of the Lord.
Yeah. Well, one thing that I will tell my brothers and sisters across listening to this show, when you go out and the enemy is slamming you, first thing to do, what I've learned to do is say, I rebuke you in Jesus' name, enemy, for messing with me. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. You have no authority over me. Leave. And ask the Lord to cover you in his blood. It's kind of like cover some holes and cover some things from happening to you while you're on the street. And ask the Lord to follow you. If you're going to go out and do a day of prayer for people, just ask him to follow you. And, you know, he's going to be there anyway, but it just actually adds more power to it, even for you and for your own comfort at times. But just rebuke him, because he's going to come in and say, well, you know, you don't need to go with him and things like that. He'll try to mess with you at times, but you've got to, you know, just rebuke him, go on, because who has the most power? Christ does. He loves you. He wants to be using you as a tool. He wants to see you healing the sick, casting out demons, and cleansing the leper. That's what he wants to see you doing. Because ain't many people do it anymore. There's more people now than there was, but at one time there wasn't many out there. But he's trying to get you to walk in his shoes, and I'm telling you, you know, this is a great thing, and you'll. It actually builds up your faith, too. When you see somebody get healed, you know, it builds up your faith, and it leads a person to Christ. That's what it's all about. And I'm just trying to promote that today. And like I said, if anybody would like a prayer today, we're doing a healing prayer show. Just call in at 347-996-3615. That's 347-996-3615. Now, Chuck, what type of things have you experienced? I mean, you've already said a few things, but what do you think about the healing prayer stuff?
Yeah, I was kind of itching to butt in there anyway, but I was trying not to get too many voices going. To me, I don't try to pray for everybody, but I try to encounter everybody. Jesus encountered everybody. And so, especially when I like to teach these things is, like, there was one time I went into Popeye's Chicken. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of that. It's in a travel center here in South Carolina, right on I-95 in Florence. And there was a guy in front of me. You get all kinds in travel centers from around the world. And there was this guy, and the girl obviously wasn't making him happy, so he was being, like, mean. Like, he was raising stuff up at me being mean, you know, like I wanted to eat him. So I walked up to the counter after he moved on, and I tried to pour life back into her. And I was just picking with her. You know, I'm a fun-loving guy, and I was picking with her. I was talking about the chicken, how it's from the Holy Ghost and God makes it and all that stuff, because I love Popeye's Chicken, by the way. I like to talk about food a lot. But anyway, when I walked off, she handed me my receipt. She said, sir, thank you so much. I appreciate that. So, and I tell people, that is just as much of a miracle as watching a leg grow out, because Satan was trying to hammer her. Now I get to pour life into her. I didn't pray for her. I didn't hold her hand. We didn't see signs and wonders and all that stuff. So I do try to encounter people. And there have been lots of times. Me, when I look for somebody to pray, I look for crutches, and I look for wheelchairs, and I look for those little scooters in Walmart. I hate those things because I know those are attacks of the enemy. So the kingdom of heaven takes it by force. So I'm on the advance. I'm kind of a militaristic type guy. I'm like, okay, I see the devil. I'm going to take him out. So those are the people who I normally look to pray for. I get prophecies. I get words of knowledge. I get different things at different times. But until I get those, I just try to make sure I'm encountering whoever's around me. If it's at work, if it's at the shopping center, whoever's there getting the kingdom of God. So, I just like to love on people. And so there have been numerous, probably more times than not, times that I've prayed for people and didn't see a thing. The biggest thing that would happen is they would hook me and they would say, where are more people like you? Nothing happened. They're not healed. They're still in the wheelchair. They're still hurting. But they're like, where are people like you? People don't do this anymore. And so I tell people, faith, it takes faith to see miracles happen. But true faith is when I don't see the miracle, but yet the next time I still pray for somebody with the same issue. It takes faith.
Yeah.
To say, okay, it didn't work last time, but maybe this time it will. I prayed for 5 dead people last year. I didn't see one person raised from the dead. But I have friends that I know in other ministries who think I'm nuts anyway, but they are amazed at the fact that I'm still trying. So faith is not necessarily seeing it. Faith is pushing past what I've seen into what I know I should be seeing. So, and I say that to encourage somebody who's listening. I want to encourage you this way. There have been numbers of times I've prayed for people, and the miracle happened, but I didn't see it. I had a lady come into our thrift store one time. Her little daughter was sick, runny nose, coughing real bad. So we prayed for her, and we didn't see anything. The next week, the lady comes back into our thrift store, and she comes to me. She says, look, I'm not here to buy anything. I need to talk to you. I said, okay, what's going on? She said, I just got to let you know, last week when I got my daughter in the car, she completely dried up and was healed instantly. So I didn't see it, but faith is knowing now if I don't believe God's going to ever not answer my prayer, whether I see it or not. So, and I could tell stories like that all day long where people come to me months later and say, it took about 2 months, man, but I'm telling you, it happened. And I only prayed for them the one time. So I say that to encourage people, look, do it in love. When I approach somebody, when I talk to people, when I'm ringing up at Walmart, I try to just love on the person. I'm not trying to pray for her. I'm not trying to push anything on. I'm just trying to see a smile, show love. Show God's love, because they don't talk about you. They're like, what's wrong with you, man? I just tell them, I just got Jesus, and Jesus loves people. And that's what the world needs now. More than the miracles that are happening in the earth right now, if I could just throw one thing on top of this, the miracles in the earth happening right now are not happening for signs and wonders' sake. They're happening because people actually love people now. And the world is hungry for a true manifestation, representation of Jesus. And that's what we've got to be to people.
Amen.
Hey, if you walk with the Lord closely, you're going to, those things are going to manifest anyway. Like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, meekness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, all that stuff. It's going to manifest just due to you walking with him. And it's like that resounding theme in my heart is just, love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your understanding. Love your neighbor as yourself. 2 commandments. If nothing else, just kind of focus on God. And you're going to blossom like the noonday sun shining on you.
I remember one time that I set out to pray for a lot of people. And the whole day, the Lord had me not to pray for nobody. He had me helping people, opening doors, helping people cross the street, speaking love to people. I mean, it was a constant thing. So it's not only just seeing signs and wonders. Like Chuck said, it is loving on people. And it's a constant thing. I mean, once you're walking in the love of God, you want to share it. You want to show it to people. And the thing about Jesus is he had compassion. When he felt compassion towards people, that's when you'd see a lot of things happen around his ministry with his compassion he had for people. Now, if our master had compassion, we need to have compassion for people too and show that. And a lot of times, a lot of these healings happen through compassion. You find somebody you feel bad for. You feel bad for the family or whatever. You pray for them and you show them the love of Christ and you can see healings that happen, things like that. But it's not only that. A lot of times when the the Lord don't want you to go out here and ride off of miracles all the time. He wants you to spread the love of God amongst people. And there's some people that's done street ministry, and they wouldn't see much that day. They wouldn't see many miracles. But they did that. The Lord actually did that to make them humble. Because if they're out there to see all these mighty miracles all the time, they ain't doing it for God. They're doing it for signs and wonders. They're not doing it for what He has meant for them to do, to show the love of God. That's what we're really doing this for, is the love of God, not how many wacky miracles we can see. So, you know, at first, the Lord could be teaching you to have a relationship with Him. He can be teaching you to you know, be polite to people, be teaching you to be humble. And there's a lot of people that have worked in signs and wonders, and He would cut it off, and then He would actually make them humble that way. It's like, you know, He was still there. He just didn't work. He just told the Holy Spirit, chill down a little bit. We need to humble Him down a little bit. So they'll go, in Jesus' name, legs grow out. Nothing happened. He's like, man, what happened there? They go, you know, something like that. And it's trying to make the guy humble. Because we got to be humble. We got to walk in the love. If we don't, what's the point? I mean, even says that in scriptures. It says that, you know, if you're showing mighty miracles and wonders, it probably didn't say exactly that, but it does say if you walk in many signs and wonders and you speak in tongues, you have no love, you've missed the point. You have missed the point. So, you know, we've got to be showing love of what and what we do. Now, if you're just going up, say, you're sick, let me heal that leg. The leg gets healed. See you. You have a great day. You've not even did what the Lord has asked you to do. You're supposed to be showing love to the person and showing the compassion of Christ and building the kingdom. You ain't going to build the kingdom with no compassion for anybody. That's just the way it is. You've got to show love of Jesus upon people. And that's what basically it's all wrapped up around is love. Love of Christ is what it's all wrapped around. But at this time, I like anybody and everybody that's listening to this show, if you got a hurt leg, if you got a upset stomach, if you've got a headache, if you've got, you know, anything going on, just put your hand on that area right now. Place your hand on your chest or wherever this area is. And we're going to go ahead and pray for you right quick. In Jesus' name, Father, I command all ailments now to be completely healed. I command all ailments to be made whole. I command all viruses to leave now in Jesus' name. I bind you and curse you, command you to leave their stomach. I command infirmities to leave. I command the spirit of depression to leave their mind, to leave the rooms in their mind. Now in Jesus' name, I take authority from you and bind you and command you to go to the pit. I command all legs and all the legs and the bones and ligaments in their legs will be completely healed now in Jesus' name. I command ligaments in the foot to be healed now in Jesus' name. Cartilage, be repaired now. Skin, be repaired now in Jesus' name. Infection, I curse you at the root and at the seed, and I command you to fall and leave this person and never return. Father, I ask you just to send your healing presence and power upon their bodies. I command their bodies to submit to the power of God now. I command wholeness upon them now in Jesus' holy name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I also now, in Jesus' name, Father, I ask you to put the bring the spirit of grace upon these people. Let them feel the spirit of grace. Bring your grace upon them. Let it teach them. Teach them the grace. Let them know the grace of God. We hear about grace all the time. We hear all types of grace, but we want to know the full grace. We want the grace just to hit their heart. Let them feel the grace of what Jesus did for us. Just bring that grace upon them. Let them feel that freedom of the cross, the freedom of the resurrection upon them. Let them feel that freedom and that complete freedom that Jesus paid for. Let their bodies feel this freedom. They've never felt this freedom. They've been bondaged up in a lot of their religious beliefs, and I command that freedom now. I command that grace to hit their bodies now and just reveal this freedom to their soul. Let them know who they are in Christ. Let them know who they are in the body of Christ. Let them know who they fully are. I ask this in Jesus' name now. Anyone of you other guys got a word of knowledge or anything?
Well, I saw somebody holding a book. It looked like a black dude holding a book. And I just saw that. That's probably just encouragement to somebody. I kind of got a sense like a pastor or a speaker speaking in front of somebody, but I could see that clearly. Anyway, be encouraged.
Amen.
Yeah, man, I was actually thinking that there's a woman that's going to be listening or is listening, and I see a divorce happening. And so I really felt led to just curse this emotional hell that's trying to take you down. So, Father, we just say this attack of the enemy is over. We come against hell right now. We say stop your activity. You're coming against the blood of Jesus. Satan, the Lord God, rebuke you. Ma'am, I say be restored, be made whole. Jesus knows right where you're at. You're not alone. I think you're fighting depression through all this because divorces can be ugly. Things going on with the children, just know right where you're at, Jesus is in the middle of it. You are not alone. He is walking on the water right in the middle of your storm, and he is the answer. And I also heard something about feet, and when I heard it, I thought about you, Chris. You don't have any feet problems. Have your feet been hurting you or anything? Chris, you still there?
Yeah, I'm sitting here talking on mute again. Sorry
about
that.
I know you work probably a lot. You been fighting any sore feet or anything?
Well, I have there's some sports damage from like wakeboarding and stuff like that. But yeah, you're welcome to pray for
me. Father, we just pray over Chris right now. Feet, I command you be healed 100%. Tendons, ligaments.
Yeah.
Joints, something going on in the left ankle, things that bother him. I command wholeness and alignment to come in right now in Jesus' mighty
Amen.
Name. Thank you, Father.
Chris, what's
Amen.
Going on with your right leg? What's wrong with your right foot, your right leg?
My right leg? Yeah, there's some stuff from like I've jacked it. I've been so jacked up over and over again.
Yeah.
From sports, but one thing was my right knee. You know, my
right knee.
It was, yeah.
Okay. In Jesus' name, I command complete healing over the right knee. I command bones in the knee to be completely healed and repaired in Jesus' name. I command all bones to grow back together now in Jesus' name. I command all cartilage that's in the bones that's not grow back together. I command it all to be made whole now. Tendons completely grow back together now. Tension, I command all of the spirit of tension to leave the leg in Jesus' name. I command all muscles fully repaired. I command all pain in Jesus' name to leave. I bind it, rebuke, and command never to come back. I command arthritis is trying to itch in, and I curse it at the root and at the seed, and I command it to leave and never come back. I bind you. You go back to the pit where you belong in Jesus' name. I command wholeness to come upon his legs and his body now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this brother here. And I want to thank everybody else here that's listening to this show. I bless every one of y'all in Jesus' name. And I thank you for just coming in, listening in today. And I invite you to come in and listen Wednesday night. We're going to have a exciting show. We're going to be talking about the Hebrewic language, how it has power in our DNA, and how it's created, move matter, and all type of stuff. How the Lord used the Hebrewic language to set things into place. So we're going to be talking about that, and I hope y'all join us at 8:00 Wednesday night. God bless y'all, and thank you, Chuck and Chris, as always, and coming in on the show and being the co-host and. It's always amazing thing. Always amazing to have y'all two on here.
Yeah, it's really good. Thank you. Thank y'all for your prayers.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me on there. I enjoyed it.
God bless you all. And we'll see you Wednesday.
Little